Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, my website, crosstheborder.org. Tell a friend about this broadcast if you have friends that are interested in the Bible and Bible study. I know that, you know, we are a minority, those of us who can endure Bible teaching for instead of listening to, well, the song of fools out there. Whether it's some idiot just blathering his mouth all day long about this and that, or the actual song of fools out there singing about, oh, the love of a man and a woman, and, you know, and all of the conjugal details of that, and they sing about that all day long. The song of fools, that's what I call it. And then you have the blowhards. All day long, you know, hour upon hour, they just did this, did this all full of themselves. All they talk about is themselves and how they can be seen. And they, all they care about is how they say this or that and talk about everybody else and all of the things that are going on. And they bring you a lot of current event stuff. And, but really it's just all about them and all the money that they're making. And their popularity and their fellowship is in the things of this world. And I hope it's different here for you, that our fellowship is in the Word of God and in the things of the Almighty and our relation to Him and how we live every day and how we walk in His kingdom and we care about Him and His law and what it takes to please Him with our lives. How we can put Him first and His righteousness before everything else. What I get from going through all of the prophets in the Old Testament is how the Heavenly Father deals with men and with nations and how nothing has changed. You know, yes, some things have changed, but the relationship of man to man and nations to man and nations to the Almighty, these things remain a constant. Just some details of time and nations change and how He deals with them in judgment. Well, those things don't change very much. Now, Israel, of course, raised up for a specific purpose as an example to the whole world, as an example for us. Now, He doesn't deal with every nation exactly the same or like He dealt with Israel, but there is a continuity. There is a way that He deals with nations and people in judgment that continues. There is a parallel that is consistent throughout history in the way the Heavenly Father deals with people and with nations. We're in Micah. Chapter 7 and verse 1, he writes, "Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. The good man is perished out of the earth." And that's the time we live in today. Here, Micah the prophet is bemoaning the situation. And yes, there is a remnant, and the Heavenly Father has always kept His remnant. But He is speaking generally here, and this generally fits the day and the nation where I live. The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man for his brother with a net. And that's what they do. What can I take from you today? What can I get for me? They hunt every man, his brother, with a net. They lie in wait for your lifeblood, that they can spoil you and take your life from you. Yes, your labor is your life, what you've worked for, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh, and the judge asketh for a reward, Yeah, there it is. The prince asketh and the judge asketh for a reward. What is that? That's legislated theft. That's what it's all about. They're asking for a reward. They take bribes. That's right. The insurance industry, they marched down to the state legislature and they said, well, we have good intentions. Everyone should be insured. That's right. So they get rich. What is it? 12% of the premiums collected actually go to administration and paying of claims in the insurance industry? Is that the statistic I read? Could that be true? That people are getting rich? Stealing from their neighbor? The princes asketh and the judge asketh for a reward? Yeah, they pay the legislature. I'll put this money into your re-election. Uh-huh. And they pay. They buy legislation to oppress the people. That's where all of these positive commandments, you notice the Heavenly Father? If you read the Ten Commandments, how many of them are positive? One. One out of the Ten Commandments is positive. Well, two, actually. Thou shalt love the Lord your God. The only positive ones are where we're commanded to love. Thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. There's a positive command. That means, see, when something is positive, that means you're commanded to do something, that it can be interpreted, or what is the word I'm looking for? The interpretation of it can be widely or broadly interpreted to the command to honor your father and your mother. But see, the thou shalt not, those negative commands, precise. But anytime they make a positive law, well, I believe that it's called tyranny when man makes positive laws to tell you what you should do. God tells us what we should not do. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Drop that. Thou shalt not have any gods before me. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not commit adultery. There are too many laws telling us what we should do. And most of the times, these are laws that are passed in order to steal, to make rich men rich, and to oppress the poor. That's what it is all about. The prince asketh, or the rulers, or those who have more ask, and the judge asketh for a reward, and the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire, so they wrap it up. That's right, the great man, those that are in power, those that are powerful. And where do they get this power? Money. So they pass laws that require you to give them your labor. That's violence. That's laying in wait for your blood, your lifeblood. They hunt every man his brother with a net. This is socialism. This is communism. Legislated theft. Redistribution of wealth. And those who get to administer it become very rich. I mean, what would happen if you were swimming in money that you got to redistribute for the world? Wouldn't a lot of it kind of, wouldn't your needs arise to the occasion? It's a great temptation there. I wouldn't want to be there. I would flee from that situation. That's why men go into government and they get corrupted. They go in with the best of intentions and they're corrupted by the riches of money, the deceitfulness of riches, because that's what it is. The deceitfulness of riches. People are deceived by money. And when they start administering a lot of money in the redistribution of wealth governing system of the world, socialism, communism, they're deceived by those riches. The best thing to do is not go there in the first place where you're going to be deceived by those riches. It's a rare man who can go into government and not be deceived by the riches. It's probably 1 in 1,000, if even that. Some people think they could name a few, but I'll not venture to do that because I don't know many people in government. So, here's the warning. The best of them is a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman and thy visitation cometh. Now shall be their perplexity. Trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father. The daughter riseth up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Those are the days that we're living in. Those are the days that are coming. When the mark of the beast, when the total socialist, communist mark of the beast monetary system is fully implemented, I give it 20 years to be fully implemented. Got a little time to prepare yourself for, you know, and what do you do? What can I say? Go here, do this? I can't tell you nothing. There's only one way to be prepared for what's coming on the earth, when judgment is coming, when the times that are coming that we're reading about here, that came in Israel, finally coming upon the whole earth. There's only one thing to do. Learn obedience so that you can be led by His Spirit. You know, if you're not obedient to God, how are you going to be led by His Spirit? Because it requires obedience to be led by the Spirit. What good is it if God tells you what to do and you don't do it? It requires obedience. That's right. You know, people want it to be like some kind of game show or something where God's going to step up and He's going to say, well, go here. I have $1 million buried in a suitcase here. Oh, I want to be led by the Spirit. And you go find your suitcase with $1 million in it, with a note telling you what your next move is. You know, people have this delusion about being led by the Spirit of God. It requires obedience. It's learned. He said, my sheep hear my voice. Do you hear His voice? Yes, He's telling you, listen, listen. Oh, wait a minute. I hear it. I hear the voice of the Almighty. And you know what He's saying? He's saying, listen, repent. The kingdom is at hand. That's what He's saying. Why? I hear the voice of God. And that's what He's saying. He even wrote it down in a book in case I'm hard of hearing, I can read it. Repent. The kingdom is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and I will take care of you. He said, I'll provide all the things you need. You know, all those things that the world, the Gentiles, the nations seek after. He said, you seek me first and my kingdom and my righteousness, and I will provide everything you need. You don't have to worry about the things you need. You seek my kingdom and my righteousness. See, hear the voice of the Almighty. He's speaking to you. He says, repent, the kingdom is at hand. Learn obedience if you want to be led by His Spirit. That is the requirement. If you want to be led by His Spirit, then learn obedience to His Word. I'm amazed at people. I fear for them when they say, oh, I wish God would speak to me and tell me what I need to do, what He wants me to do. Well, wait a minute. Okay, so you're hard of hearing. Open the book and read it. Repent. The kingdom is at hand. Seek first His kingdom before everything else and His righteousness. He says, not everyone who just calls me Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only, and it's there and there, Messiah said of it, only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Yeah, only those who do the will. And what's His will? Again, He wrote it down in a book. His kingdom has a king, and His kingdom has laws like other kingdoms. See, there's a clue there. There's a big mystery. Oh, the mystery of the kingdom of God. Repent. The mystery is it's at hand. The mystery is it has a king, and the king has laws. And He wrote them down in a book so you could know what pleases Him. You want to be led by His Spirit? Learn to obey Him. allow the fruit of repentance to be brought forth in your life so you can look back and you can see the fruit of the Spirit. And you can have that assurance that when the terrible times come, that you will be led by His Spirit. Well, we better finish up Micah here. Trust you not in a friend. Put you not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father. The daughter riseth up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own household. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. Yes. Therefore, Micah 7:7, I will look unto Yahuwah. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, when I fall. I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, Yahuwah shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord, because I have sinned against him, until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. Micah believed this, you know. I think he was one of those guys that was looking for the Redeemer of mankind. Well, as a matter of fact, I know it's a sure thing that I'll meet Micah someday. Continuing here. And he says, I shall behold his righteousness. Will you behold his righteousness? He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Are you seeking it? Are you seeking his kingdom and his righteousness? If you're not, you'll never behold it. Continuing, then she that is mine enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her which said unto me, where is Yahuwah thy God? Mine eyes shall behold her. Now shall she be trodden down as the mire in the streets. Yes, mine enemy. Then she that is my enemy, Jezebel over there, my enemy, shall see it, and shame shall cover her. That'll be the day. In the day that thy walls are to be built, in the day shall the decree be far removed. In that day also he shall come even to thee from Assyria, and from the fortified cities, and from the fortresses, even to the river, and from sea to sea, and from mountain to mountain. Notwithstanding, the land shall be desolate because of them that dwell therein, for the fruit of their doings. The judgment came to Israel because of the fruit of their doings. 7:14. Feed thy people with thy rod, the flock of thine inheritance, which dwell solitarily in the wood, in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead, as in the days of old. According to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt, will I show unto him marvelous things. The nation shall see and be confounded at all their might. They shall lay their hand upon their mouth. Their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth. They shall be afraid of Yahuwah our God, and shall fear because of thee. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? You know, that's it. Repent. The kingdom is at hand, because who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? He wants to pardon you. He shed his blood for your account so that you could endure to the end and be saved by his blood. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? Are you one of those? I am. Almighty, Heavenly Father, let me be of the remnant of your heritage. He said, he retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. That's who he really is. He delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. It's been a long road walking with the Messiah for 40 years. And it was difficult crucifying the deeds of the flesh. But he did it. He did it for me. He showed me that it wasn't in me until he imputed his righteousness to me. It says here, he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. And he did. He turned again. And he had compassion again upon me. He subdued my iniquities. He gave me the victory. He made me an overcomer. It was him. It was his righteousness imputed to me that did it. When people look at me and they see his light, it's his. I'm not responsible for it. I didn't do it. I just cried unto him. I said, please teach me obedience. And he heard my cry and he subdued my iniquities. He taught me obedience. He taught me obedience. So continuing, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. All of the promises of God to Abraham here and Jacob are yes and amen, and they're all fulfilled in Messiah. And he gathered every prophecy of him gathering the nation back together in the flesh as his holy nation, as his set apart nation in the earth, has been fulfilled and will be fulfilled in the millennial reign. It's never going to happen in the flesh. That demonstration has been concluded, and it was concluded in the 70 weeks that were determined for Israel, that he had mercy during the time of Jacob's trouble and gave them 40 years after he took away the sacrifice to repent, to deal with them before he brought about or allowed the flood, the desolation that came like a flood, destroyed the temple, the city, and the nation, where everyone was killed by the sword or taken captive and sold into slavery. Yes, that doesn't mean that the 70 weeks weren't accomplished and finished. You're listening to Cross the Border. That is the end of Micah. Visit my website, crosstheborder.org. We'll see you next time.